JSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Playing in a pub, me well know well. I met a girl. If you know,
if you know, if you know. We're told that after the war, the Nazis vanished without a trace. But the Italians are fascists, still dream of a master race. The history books, they tell of their defeat in 45. But they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. They say the prisoner of Spandau was a symbol of defeat. Whilst Hess remained in prison, then the fascists, they were beat. So the promise of an Aryan world would never materialise. So why did they all come out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died? The world is riddled with maggots, the maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Syrup Moose Radio. I am your host, the Great and Sticky Moose, and you are listening to 93.9 FM CICK Smithers Community Radio. You might also be listening to this show on 90.3 FM CKUT in Montreal, 88.7 FM CFUR in Prince George, 88.3 FM CKXU in Lethbridge, or 102.7 FM CKMS in Waterloo. This show is recorded on the unceded territory of the Gitxsan people and broadcast originally from the territory of the Wet'suwet'en. It is heard across Canada on unceded territory, so take some time to learn about whose land you're living on. Syrup Moose Radio is sponsored by the Skeena Watershed Conservation Coalition. You can check out the incredible and vital work that they are doing by searching for them on Facebook. You can at any time reach out to Syrup Moose Radio by email at syrupmooserecords@gmail.com or by finding me on Blue Sky, xada.bluesky.social. That's xada.bluesky.social. For more from this show, visit smithersradio.com or themarsh.ca. Enjoy the show.
Good.
Yeah.
was The Burden with Vanity, a post-hardcore act out of Prince George, with their first music in 3 years. And it sounds like they have not missed a stride. So welcome back to The Burden. Hopefully that means we get an album soon. But I guess we'll find out. All right, folks. I went ahead against my better judgment and watched the pieces of the special council meeting in Smithers regarding the cold weather shelter. And we are going to talk about some of the things that I heard during this meeting, partially because they absolutely made me furious, and partially because I want there to be a record of these things that were said that lives on outside of a, you know, the city's YouTube channel. So we're going to hear some of that. The entire thing will be in the description. You can find it on the Town of Smithers YouTube channel. It's the special open November 17th, 2025. I will do my best not to remove context if where is important, but, you know, this is only a 2-hour show and I have some things I would like to say. However, I want the first things said to be said by the, folks from the, Buckley Valley Harm Reduction Society, and then we can go from there. There will be music in this episode and stuff like that. I want to talk about this because it just sort of shows that it just shows a huge lack in empathy and compassion on the part of some of the folks in Smithers and some of the organizations in Smithers. And I find that to be really disappointing. So, some apologies to the other places who are listening to this. But frankly, you know, it's a show based in Smithers. So we're going to talk about stuff in Smithers. And I think it is worth talking about, even, you know, for listeners that I have in Alberta or Burnaby or whoever, because, these issues are affecting your community too. And I think it's worth hearing what people have to say. So first, I'm going to give over to the opening statement here from the folks at the Bulky Valley Harm Reduction Society. And then we're going to go from there. All right, here we go.
Hello. Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Billy Kennedy. I'm program manager for the temporary winter shelter run by Bulky Valley Harm Reduction.
And my name is Noah. I am one of the directors of Bulky Valley Harm Reduction, and I've been helping to put together the temporary winter shelter project.
My name is JF. I am a facility coordinator and helping out with odds and ends on the project.
Okay, so the past few weeks has been a bit of a whirlwind. We have been receiving a lot of questions about who we are and what this project is. So I wanted to share a little bit of context and background about who the Bulky Valley Harm Reduction is, how we started, and what this project that is currently operating is. So we are a new organization. We came together formally. We formally incorporated last year in November. We're community members and citizens of the Bulky Valley who care deeply about the community and love this area. We got to know each other through doing support for folks who are unhoused in our community. Some members of our society were working professionally in outreach and harm reduction or social services. Some people in our society were working other jobs and doing informal support for folks at the encampment regularly, which is how we got to know each other. And one of the things that brought us together was we started bringing meals outside of service hours when meals weren't available by already established services in town, and coordinating donation drives. And we got to know each other that way. And we thought that by formally incorporating, we could start to bring more structure to the work that we were already doing to support folks in our community. So we came together as a society and incorporated And really, we're looking to collaborate on shared values and help to fill in the gaps. There are so many incredible organizations doing work in our community. And we wanted to do what we could to fill in the gaps of services that currently exist. So after we incorporated, we began doing outreach support last winter to folks at the encampment, and we're organizing meals and donation drives and getting people's feedback on what their needs were and how we could support. And that was a pretty hard winter. It was pretty tough for us to sit with seeing the effects that the extreme cold had on people that we got to know and really care about. A lot of cold-related injuries, a lot of people struggling with mental health that was worsened by the environmental conditions. So we came together in March, and personally, I'd been working in, at the time I was working for Positive Living North, and we, so I had heard through my work in the community that BC Housing funds sometimes emergency weather response programs, and this wasn't currently operational in this capacity in Smithers. And so we reached out to BC Housing and said, if we were to provide staffing and operational oversight, what would the process be like for running something like this? And I believe that was in April. And we started having conversations with Erin over at BC Housing about what program might be best suited for this. And temporary winter shelter was brought up. And so we began having early tentative conversations with certain town staff, and we reached out to other service providers in our community to say that we were interested in applying for an RFPQ, which is a sort of pre-qualification to be certified as a shelter operator. And receive funds from BC Housing. So we put in our application in early summer, I believe. Summer. We put in our application in the summer, and then during the qualification process, there are a lot of moving pieces. We were looking around town for suitable sites if this were to get approved, but everything was very hypothetical at that point. And we received qualification in October, and shortly thereafter in mid-October we received confirmation that funding would be allocated to this area, so we were eligible to operate a temporary winter shelter. So at the time, the only building that was suitable for this purpose, suitably zoned and available for lease, was the old fabrications building at 3892 Third Avenue. So we secured a lease, continued talking to everyone that we'd been in discussion with over the summer, and said, we have confirmation of funding, it's a green light, and we came together as a team to jump through all the necessary parts of the process to get this shelter up and operational. And as I guess you can tell, it was a very tight time frame. And so understanding all the moving parts that have been in the air, and a lot of the concerns and thoughts that people in the community have brought up to us has really helped us to solidify our model and be really thorough with our planning process. And we finally opened our doors yesterday, and within 3 hours after opening our doors, our capacity was filled. And what was surprising was a lot of the folks who came to our doors were folks who are part of what's called the hidden homeless population. So people who often are missed in classic like reporting of homelessness numbers, people who were living in vehicles or camping alone, not at the encampment. So we've been pretty overwhelmed with the need that's out there right now, and we're doing what we can to provide beds and food and support and referral to other services. And everything has been running really smoothly so far. And we are really excited about the potential for connecting folks to support and meeting needs this winter. We are somewhat limited in capacity. Originally, our plan had been to provide 25 beds for the community, but due to the particular building and building code, for now we are only able to provide 10 beds. Eight beds and two staff in the building. There's a 10-person occupancy level in the building. Yes, so that is the background from our end of things. The community feedback is really important to us, and we've been responding to everybody who's reached out. We've been really touched by a lot of the community support and donations, and we've been really appreciating the concerns and feedback that we've gotten from other people in the community, and we're doing our best to mitigate all concerns directly and have constructive conversations around that.
All right, folks, so that is the opening statement there from the special council meeting, and there is a presentation that follows, I believe, from Housing BC, that kind of goes over a bit more in the specific. But what I wanted to really draw attention to from that is they said they have 10 beds. They are not a high capacity shelter. And 3 hours after their doors were open, they were full. And I think that really speaks to what's going on in the community of Smithers. There is homelessness, both, as they mentioned, you know, unseen homelessness, so people who are couch surfing, who are maybe living in their cars, and then you have the encampments and things like that. So they are addressing a problem, and we are, you know, approaching the winter here in Smithers and in Hazleton, you know, in the north. We're hitting the winter season, and it gets cold, and it doesn't take all that much to freeze to death in the cold. So what these people are doing is an objectively positive thing. And I personally can't get my head around the pushback to what is an objective positive unless it goes against what folks would prefer, which is that people freeze to death. I think so often, so many conversations about unhoused people come down to an issue of them, oh, they're an eyesore, oh, not in my neighborhood. There's nowhere for the people to go. So, you know, the suggestion of put them somewhere else is not helpful. And now I want to go to another piece of this present, of this that really rubbed me the wrong way, and that is this clip.
Good evening. Can everybody hear me? Okay. I'm representing Smithers Community Services Association, SCSA. I'm the chair of the board of that, of our local nonprofit, SCSA. SCSA provides multiple services in our community, including running Good Acre Place, the transit, assisted living for seniors. Good Acre Place is our biggest line of operation, and our most challenging line of operation. And we already, as Aaron Tooley mentioned, do provide shelter services there. We have 6 beds dedicated in that building. As our current contract with Good Acre Place, we are the service provider that BC Housing owns the building, does not include providing emergency shelter services, but we have been doing that, and we've been communicating with BC Housing about that funding gap. Last winter, basically 170 person days were served at Good Acre Place with people coming in for the winter shelters in those two dedicated rooms, one for men, one for women, 3 beds each. So we're already doing some of that. We've got some process gaps here with this and why we've ended up with this special committee meeting. For us, as a major nonprofit that has been engaged in with town staff and with BC Housing to learn about a new society, providing a service just through Facebook recently is a little bit, you know, there's a process gap there. So our main concern is that we're already providing some of the service. We have bid on providing future service with the what Aaron mentioned about the new BC housing proposal on Alfred Street with the shelter there. We're the only local NGO that has actually bid on operating that. We haven't signed a contract yet. But in the end, basically, if this contract goes through, Bulkley Valley Harm Reduction Society gets the contract with BC Housing and runs it. The town approves it and everything. SESA is willing to work with any other nonprofit to make it work for the better of our community. But the main thing that I want to present from SESA's perspective is that we have a process problem here that needs to be addressed by the town has to be more involved, to be quite frank, in helping work with the nonprofit so we don't have duplication of applications, possible duplication of services, inefficiencies, and maybe the actual people who are supposed to receive the services falling through the cracks. Thank you.
All right, so that was the representative there from the Smithers Community Services Association. And I will say right off the bat, there is no denying that they are an organization that does crucial work in Smithers. They're really, it really is a necessary thing that they exist. And nobody, I don't think anybody, including the folks at the BC Bulkley Valley Harm Reduction Society, would argue that point. They are critical. What kind of irks me about that statement is talking about, we already provide that service. We have 6 beds. And that the insinuation that Bulkley Valley Harm Reduction should have checked with you before starting, essentially. And you talk about how the main thing you want to talk about is that there is a process problem, a bureaucratic problem. And I find that really, I find that really misses the point, right? The process gaps and service gaps, that is how people fall through the cracks. Absolutely. But to argue that that is the most important issue, or to say that the main concern of the Smithers, the Community Services Association, is this process gap, is kind of disappointing, I guess. You talk about nobody wants to duplicate service or applications, but nothing about this is a duplication of service. It is an increase in the provision of that service. And nonprofits should not be in competition with each other. It should be about, you say that you're willing to make it work with any organization, and I hope that that's true. I hope that the Smithers Community Services Association embraces Bulkley Valley Harm Reduction and supports them. Because you have 6 beds, they have 10, and now we have 16, and we aren't even close to halfway to meeting the need in the community. So I would love to see folks, I don't know, I just find it kind of disappointing when an organization who is out there doing good work wants to fight another organization doing good work about process, or fight the town about process, rather than acknowledging this shelter for what it is, which is an objective good. And that's the thing that in some of the other comments that I am going to play that I think is missing, is that this is objectively a good thing. And it's really important that it exist. So anyway, that statement, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And, that's my feeling, I guess. So it doesn't much matter. And I'm sure, I don't know. I'm an anarchist, right? So the idea of bureaucracy being a concern in making sure people don't freeze to death is a wild notion to me, and not one that I'm willing to accept as a valid argument or a thing that might hold up a service providing like this. So Yeah, I guess I had just hoped for better, and that's not what we really got. Again, if they're willing to work with them, I hope that they're going to. But, you know, it's a lot of talking about bids and applications, and, you know, we already provide this service, but six beds isn't approaching the issue, right? And 16 isn't, right? We need more and more and more. Everybody should be housed, and we shouldn't have to spend time arguing about why or why not, right? Everybody should be housed. So anyway, we're going to get into a few more of the public comments, and we'll talk a bit more after. Maybe I'll put on a song here and break things up a little bit. We'll go from there. Okay. Magnetar with Desecrate Infinite, and we are back here on Serum Moose Radio. For folks who are just joining us, we're taking a listen to some of the public comments made during the special